Chapter 12. The next day, I'm waiting in the bathroom. Seems like forever. No Char. She's punishing me for getting out my place yesterday, I guess. When Char says, come, you come. When she says, do this for me, you do it, or else bad stuff happens. I didn't give Char her social studies homework yesterday, so no clothes for me today. Now I got to go to class in Mama's things, or wear the clothes Char gave me yesterday. I got them here in my backpack. They're folded small as a bag of bread. They're wrinkled worse than Caleb's grandmama's face, though. I don't have much choice, so I keep on my own clothes. I stretch my arms toward the mirror. Not bad. Sleeves is even. Buttons sewed on straight. The seam down the shirt sleeve is crooked is all. Could be worse. I'm thinking maybe I'll skip class. Miss Saunders gave me this here book the other day. Life of a Slave Girl, it's called. She said maybe it would help me with my writing. I've already read it twice. I stayed up all night reading it 2 days ago. I read it with a flashlight under the covers so Mama wouldn't holler. That book made me cry. It made me think about Akilma and what was waiting for her once the boat docked. While I'm still deciding if I'm going to skip class, I tell myself that I'm only going to read Life of a Slave Girl for 5 minutes. The next thing I know, the late bell is ringing. I'm shoving that book in my book bag and running down the hall. Walk, Miss Madison, a teacher says to me, and pick up that paper you just dropped. Good thing nobody sees what is on my paper. It's another one of them Akilma letters. Dear Diary, when you are hungry, really hungry, even mush crawling with maggots tastes good. So I can't help licking my lips when that girl put the last fingerful of my food in her mouth. A thief, that one is. Yesterday I grabbed her hand and tried to take back what was mine. It fell to the floor and someone else scooped it up. She is a lion who cares for no one but herself. Akilma. I'm almost to Miss Saunders' room when John McIntyre starts up with me again. New clothes, huh? He says, trying to be smart. I stop walking and turn to him and ask real smart-like, why are you always picking on me? I ain't sure what's come over me. I guess thinking about Akilma makes me wonder why people treat others like they're nothing. Chill, Malika, John says, strutting down the hall alongside me. He gets quiet, and I hear his big sneakers squeaking every time they hit the floor. Then I say something that surprises us both. Why me? He knows what I'm asking. He keeps on stepping. Why do you hate me? I ask, looking right at John. His cheek twitches. You bugging, girl, he says. I look at him like he's crazy. John's been hating me all my life, it seems. Now he's standing here denying it. I don't think nothing about you, he says, jerking up his pants. Seems like nobody's in the halls but me and John. Only there's plenty of kids around, pushing and shoving one another out of the way. The teachers are trying their best to move all us kids along, but it ain't working so good. That song you sing about me ain't right, John, I say. It just ain't right. So what? You ain't all that, you know. Oh, what? I want to ask. But John don't give me a chance. He says I got what I deserved on the bus that day. He says since the first time he met me, I acted like I was better than him. I'm looking at John like I ain't never seen him before. Better than him? When I do that? He says something stupid crazy. Says it was back in second grade when I first moved to the Heights. I walked into class that first day with my new pink polka-dotted dress on and black patent leather shoes. The teacher told me to sit in the desk next to his. I said I didn't want to. I wanted to sit in the one up front next to Caleb. That half-white punk, John says, knowing full well Caleb ain't mixed. Now my mouth's hanging open. I didn't even know Caleb back then, I say. I wanted to sit up front 'cause I couldn't see the board, I explain. Looking at John, I tell him, you hated me all these years for something I didn't even do. No matter, he says. You've given me plenty of reasons not to like you since then, thinking you super smart, acting like you too good for me. I tell John how things really is. I'm failing all my classes. Char's on my case all the time. I gotta borrow clothes to look like somebody. Good, John says. You always thought you was better than me. Now look at you. You just as bad off as the rest of us. Worse, maybe. Caleb don't want no part of you now, I bet. Now John's bobbing his head up and down, laughing like this whole thing is funny. John looks at me like I'm dirt or something. I swallow hard. I think about what Daddy once said about not seeing yourself with other people's eyes. I keep on stepping. When I open the door to Miss Saunders' room, John's right behind me. For once, Miss Saunders not getting on my case about being late. Then it hits me. John McIntyre is jealous of me. But why? I sit there for about 5 minutes trying to figure this thing out with John before I notice Miss Saunders ain't here. It's seeing Worm with his narrow butt parked on Daphne's desk that makes me know something's not right. When I look up front, nobody's there but two kids drawn on the board. I guess Miss Saunders is sick. All right, a substitute, I say. No work today. Before I can even smile good about it, Miss Saunders comes flying into the room. Sorry I'm late, she says, all out of breath. I'm sorry you're here, I whisper.